And I worship you. I give my life to you. I fall. Words, Lord, and yet we are here. I believe each one of us, Lord, offering ourselves. Truly, it's, Lord, a surrender, Lord, that you've wrought. Lord, even as the scripture says, Lord, when you said, seek my face, we respond, yes, yes, your face will I seek. So it's, Lord, it's all you. I just give you praise tonight. We give you thanks, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts. Just from my lips, from all of our lips, from our hearts, accept this love and this offering back to you, Lord, for all that you've done. For all that you are. Just to give you again praise and thanks, I ask that you would come and minister, Lord. It's, it doesn't lie, we recognize that in any man to save, to call, to build up or to feed the soul of another, yet you use the foolishness of preaching. So we offer ourselves to you tonight. Just ask that you would come and minister, commune with your people, feed them, revive them, bless them, lift them up, Lord, and may you be glorified alone. And just again, we give you thanks and praise for your faithfulness, for this beautiful light of this hour, Lord. We see you, present tense, we see you working, we see you changing us. We see you performing your word in us. It just gets more beautiful, more precious every day. Lord, we, again, by your grace, with eyes that have been opened, we can see that we're truly worshiping, present tense, in the light of this hour, the revelation that you've unfolded in this day. Pray that you would just again minister your word tonight, be lifted up and glorified and exalted. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Well, sometimes that just happens, so thanks for bearing with me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Everybody okay? Amen. All, that's it. Yeah, I just wanted to share something. You know, you have your Bible apps, and they're all a blessing. Amen. And I'm sure everybody knows, has the same, the if you have the same app, you'll know what I'm about going to share here. But I just had to read this. I have it on Amplified right now for this Bible app, and it was, the verse of the day was Romans 8:38. And I just wanted to read that because it's so just encouraging to me today. Is, for I am persuaded beyond doubt, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So whatever comes your way, whatever comes my way, whatever happens, it's okay. It's okay. Not going to separate us. And, you know, I think we maybe go through seasons, and probably more as time goes on, we'll find ourselves in a place of just there. He's my reality. He is my reality. And I'm more dependent on him for everything every day than ever before. So calling those things that are contrary as though they are not, denying lying vanities, all those things, I think, is the world that we're walking in, the place that he's taking to us to more all the time. And one more too, and this is just in Weiss, and then we'll get into the notes for tonight. But you know, just thinking of that scripture there in Romans 8, I couldn't help but think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. Is that true or what? Have you find it? We find that. And don't, you know. And I love this. If you just bear with me a minute, I want to read that in the Weiss, because I've always been blessed with the wording. And he said unto me, and his declaration still stands. I like that. He said unto me, and his declaration still stands. My grace is enough for you. For power is moment by moment. And sometimes that's just the way it is. Moment by moment. Coming to its full energy and complete operation in the sphere of weakness. Let me just say that one more time. For power is moment by moment coming to its full energy and complete operation in the sphere of weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my weakness. Wow. Can we do that? Not fun. Not easy, is it? I will boast in my weakness in order that the power of Christ may take up its residence in me. He's looking for those vessels that are yielded, submitted, that he can display and project and show himself through. Wherefore, I'm well content in weakness, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, and in circumstances under which I am subject to extreme pressure on behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm filled with ability and power. I love that. So I just think those were good words to share on a Wednesday night. So I don't know what kind of week you've had or what you're going through, but again, those are just the one verse or the one thing kind of triggered the other, and I wanted to just share that. So praise the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and stand on our feet. We'll start off with a reading tonight in Psalms 132. And verse 13. It says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion." I like that. Zion speaks of what? Who? Us. You and me. The Lord hath chosen Zion. Look at comes next. He's desired it for his habitation. He desires you. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I've ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. You can be seated. So we'll kind of just hold and on to that verse 13 again. The Lord hath chosen Zion. He's desired it for his habitation. We'll kind of go through tonight and just repeat that and savor and meditate on that together. I think that's encouraging. And I think what's so beautiful is that speaks like more than any other time of this day. What is coming upon us now? And, you know, maybe people who, if I could say it this way, and people who read a book, sometimes you skip to the end, you want to know what happened, and how exciting it is to be living in this day, this time. You know, God's great drama, as Brother Branham would tell us, this great, beautiful drama and this plan of redemption, chapter by chapter, picture by picture, it's all winding up now in us. And this is amazing. We are the recipient. We are the object of his love. And I believe, and you know, we're so blessed in this day to have a prophet, to have a word. I love who could take us. Think of this. I love those words. In Christ, the mystery of God's world. Take us back before time. Amen. To the back part of God's mind. Don't you love those words? The back part of God's mind, to know what his objectives and his desires and his plan was, to display himself, to reflect himself in his body. And it's playing out, and it's now in the final stages of the final act. And here we are, recipients, part of this. So, you know, we shouldn't skip over these verses. When you see this verse 13, that's me, that's now. He has desired it for his habitation. That's what we're coming to. Amen. So let's just turn to a scripture. Let's turn to Isaiah 62, please. And I just thought of this because I think this fits so just beautifully. You know, we're going to go ahead and just read. It's not a very long chapter, but we're going to go ahead and read through this because I think this is so beautiful and it just fits right in here. So verse 1, Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Amen. Isn't that beautiful? "And they shall build up the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And the strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be called, named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentile, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Isn't that just beautiful? For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And just getting close here. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Amen. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Amen. And then we're going to keep reading a bit further here, but I want to just skip forward into 62 now. Here, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Exactly. And the Gentiles, who the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Here we go. Verse 4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither thy land any more termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. I just want to savor those words tonight. The Lord delights in you, in Zion. We'll just skip kind of towards the end. Now, we could keep reading. I love this. But verse 11 of chapter 62, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Unto who? The end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall be and they shall call them the holy people. Here you will go, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Think of that. You shall be called sought out. You are the object of his love. You are the what he's you know, as we read in Psalms. He's desired Zion for his habitation, for his dwelling place. Think of that. Isn't that just so rich and so beautiful? So we're going to just continue on through some scriptures here and think of that reality that's coming to place in this day, in this hour. God dwelling with and in his people. The resting place there. Amen. We were just there. We should have probably stayed there. Turn back to Psalms for just a minute. And I'm sorry, Psalms 50. We'll just drop in for a verse there. All right. Okay, verse 1, actually a couple verses here. Psalms 50, verse 1, the Lord, the mighty God, even the Lord has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. And verse 2, look at this, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. And I just find that so beautiful. Amen. And what I love there that just is magnifying, that we're going to dwell on that too for a little bit here, is out of Zion. Out of Zion. So what does that tell you? Not upon Zion, out of Zion, the direction. He is in her. He is shining forth out from among his people. His light is in her. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. We don't have any beauty. We know that it's His. It's all His. The perfection of beauty is His. The light is His. Oh, no, exactly. Exactly. Amen. So the thought here, if you were to just write it down, and what we're kind of meditating on together is the beauty, the light of the bride, the glory of the bride, and the dwelling place of Zion. And we can turn, of course, we can find this all over. Go to the New Testament. Let's go to Revelations 21. We know this well, but again, holding that in our heart, the Lord has desired Zion for His habitation. Out of Zion, He's shining. Revelations 21, 1 through 3. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. I love that. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And behold, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. Amen. Dropping down to verse 11. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having, there we go, the glory of God. There she is. And tell me about her light. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So here she is descending, having the glory of God. Her glory is His glory. Her light is His light. It's all Him in her. And this is the day. This is the time. I believe that. We know it. You can turn there. You can just... Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. Where? On thee. It's time. This is what we're recipients of. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. He's desired it. He's desired you for His habitation. This is the place of my rest. Amen. All right, we're going to just drop into a couple quotes that are just so rich. This is from What Shall I Do with Jesus Called Christ? God's body, he says, united as His bride, being one, Him and Christ together, is the Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. That was real rich, deep. God's body, What Shall I Do with Jesus Called Christ, 63. God's body united as His bride, being one, Him and Christ together, is the Spirit working in the flesh of the church. Is that beautiful oneness or what? Like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ. That was the groom. Now this is the bride time. It's bride time. Because it's part of His body. Not twain, but one. They are one. A husband and wife is no longer two, but one. And Christ in His body is one. Amen. And the same Spirit that was in Christ is in His bride, in His body, that unites them together with all the Word. And God living in there Himself, manifesting it. Oh my, I love this. God's chosen place of worship. He says, there's many fine women in this building tonight. Fine, loyal women. But there's one Mrs. William Branham. She's the one goes home with me. She's the one. That's my wife. There's fine people in the world, fine churches, but there's one, Mrs. Jesus Christ, and that's the one who he's coming for. That's where his name lays. That's where his name lays. There, what comes next? I'll be honest, for a while wasn't sure I understand this. I feel like I'm beginning to. There's where his worship is. In her. In her alone. Oh, true. Yes, sir. Amen. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God is shine. Amen, amen. Blessed be his name. He's desired you. Think of that since the beginning of time, to display, to wind all these things up into this beautiful plan of redemption. Oh my, we're so rich, even the reality of what redemption means to us is so beautiful. To know this whole great plan, to know of God projecting himself and displaying himself, his attributes, and all this reconciliation is just, there's nothing like this word of this hour that reveals all these things to us. Amen, amen. I love it. He has desired Zion for his habitation. That's you and that's me. Amen. Let's look at another couple scriptures here. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll go start with verse. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Adoption. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Did what happened there end there? Nope. Keep reading. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do dwell, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. Where? In your hearts. The day star in our hearts, in yours and in mine. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Beautiful. Psalm 97, I'm just going to quote a few here. Verse 11, light. I love this. Psalm 97, 11. Light is sown for the righteous. And he shall prepare the way. And gladness for the upright in heart. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." I'll tell you what. The darker it gets, it's exactly what Brother Branham said, that law of contrasts. Yes. The darker it gets, the more beautiful this light every single day. So I love this. Path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. What is that light? It's him. Where is he? He's in his bride. God has desired Zion. He's desired you. He's shining forth out of his bride. Amen. I love it. Fellowship by redemption. He says, but, I like this. When our body becomes in tune with God. Is that what he's doing right now? Is that what he's working out in us? When our body becomes in tune with God, becoming a part of him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit to vindicate the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his power and omnipotence. Amen. He is risen from the dead. He lives among us today, and he wants fellowship back with his people again. There we go. Back with his people again. What he has desired from the beginning of time, to be one, to be expressed amongst his family, amongst his body, to have fellowship, to be one with her, with back with his people again. His great majesty, his glory is now spreading forth. And he's desiring fellowship again with his people like he did in the Garden of Eden. Restoration, redemption, taking us back. Oh, I love that. Thank you, Lord. Him becoming embodied again in this day in the many-membered bride. It was groom then, it's bride now. And I couldn't help but just think of Revelation 10 as I was looking at these and meditating on these things. Thunders. John is told, write those things which you heard and write them not. Why? Well, I believe we can say that this is his work. He's writing this work. He's writing his word in his bride. It's in her. He's in her. She's the culmination. She is the final act. As he said, she's the final voice to the final age. It's all in her. It's in you and it's me. She is the temple. Where is heaven? Where the king is, where the God is. Where is he? Within you. Exactly. And to think of what he is doing by his grace, the completion of what he purchased at Calvary for this day coming now into effect. You know, God coming and condescending. It's beautiful, really, to trace this through the scriptures, through the word, his constant condescension. First in that light, that pillar of fire, and then through time, through the prophets, then in Jesus Christ. But he wasn't done there now. Through that offering, through that perfect sacrifice, now into us, condescending in us. In a many, it's rich. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Malachi 3:1 says, you know, we'll just, the end of this, the verse 3, sorry, Malachi 3, verse 1, the end of the verse says, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Is that fulfilled many ways? Is it fulfilled again today? Is it being fulfilled? She is him. He says, she is him. Her glory is his glory. Her light is his light. Her voice is his light. His voice, sorry. For 2,000 years, he's been forming his bride, coming to this very hour when he can now indwell his bride, forming, shaping, building, and now indwelling. My goodness, I just love it. All right, oneness in the message, oneness. He says that's God's purpose. His perfect purpose as Father Supreme was to be one with his family. Earthly family, Adam and Eve, and the only way they could be one with the family or with God was because God's nature was in them. So that made them, with God's nature in them, then each other and God, they could all become one. Isn't it a beautiful picture? God and his family. Father over all, supreme, no death, no sorrow, no heartaches, nothing, just joy unspeakable. He says, what a picture, because the very nature of God was in these people, and therefore what they did, they just followed in line with God. And he moves on here. He says, Jesus prayed in John 17. Here we go. The 11th verse, if you want to put it down, that the church and he would be one like he and the Father were one. That the church, we as members of the body of Christ, would be one together just like he and the Father are one. At that day, you will know I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. That day is this day. Amen. Amen. The Father in him, he in us, that together we're one. What a union, a oneness that would be to see God in his church till every member is just perfectly in harmony with each other and God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the church Jesus is coming for. That's when he prayed that his prayer will be answered, that we would be one. Amen. He says it's the only grounds of fellowship that God ever laid down for himself and his church is the oneness of himself in the people. Amen. That's the only grounds of fellowship. And the only way that we can have those grounds is by a union to be united with him forever. Amen. Just like when you unite with your husband, the woman to unite with her husband, it's a vow until death. Now then, when you unite with God, it's the same thing that church is united with Christ, until death do we part. Amen. He says, he moves on here. So, to be united with him in the spirit of his power is eternal life. He says, you're eternally united with God. He says, united eternally with the eternal God, perfectly in harmony with him together, perfectly united. Oh, my God. He goes on, it's just rich, but you can see there the point, and we see it all through the scriptures as we went into just a few of them here, the reality of that oneness that we're called to. Amen, amen. Out of Zion, perfection of beauty, God has shined. He desires you. You are the habitation. Amen. Amen. Okay, just another scripture here. Let's turn to Psalms 87, kind of more on the similar line there. Oop. There we go. I think this is so beautiful. Okay, Psalms 87. Says his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this man was born there. And out of Zion it should be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, as well as the instruments as the players, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. And look at that final phrase there. All my springs are in thee. Don't you just see the culmination of it all winding up? God, again, so desiring you in this day, desiring me to be embodied, to be made flesh again in his bride. This word that's been opened up, the seals open, releasing him in word form back amongst his people so he can have his habitation in you, with you, and in you. You are that habitation he's desired. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Isn't that rich? Just, isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful? We are just recipients. Yes, amen. Okay, the rising of the sun. We know this. I know we've been through this. We've read this one before, and it'll be familiar, but I think it's so just rich to share. He says, that's what he proved. Hallelujah. That's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself, the dynamics in the Word that made the body of Jesus Christ, cold, stiff, dead in the grave, shake into life and rise again and roll away the stone. I am he that was dead, so dead till the sun said he was dead. The moon said he was dead. The stars said he was dead. All nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to recognize he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's word, but he was the dynamics to prove it. Amen. And as he being the groom, here we go. Groom, bride. What act is this? It's the bride act. He being the groom, the bride has to come forth. Has to come forth. Because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any other has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest I love that. That's his spoken word. It can only manifest if it does something different from the groom. It isn't the bride, because she's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. All my identity is him, in him. You can't separate them at all. She is him. As man and woman are one, the woman taken from his side, she taken a spirit, the feminine spirit, from him. The flesh from his side made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together, made mechanics and dynamics. There we go. That's the picture. All of it, it's him being expressed. Him and his groom, him and his bride, all one body. And now is the time. Think of that. We are recipients of this word that's been revealed, that's been given, and he's now manifesting himself in and through his people. It's beautiful. I love it. I hope that is makes sense. I just, it's a blessing. Just the thought again on my heart tonight was the light and glory of the bride. Yeah, please, sure. Oh, there's way more than two verses, but we'll go ahead and just hit those. Galatians what? Sure. Galatians 4:26. Yes, please. Amen. There we go. Yep. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Amen. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Amen. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Psalm 132. Just hold these things in your heart. If you want to encourage yourself and again, look into the mirror of God's word. Just find your position to see your identification. We get beat down with the enemy, by the enemy all day long, telling you what you're not. Trying to look at your flaws and your faults and all these different things. We look here into the word at what he said, and that's our identification. You forget everything else. Amen. The Lord has desired Zion. I want you to walk out. If you nothing else tonight, the Lord has desired Zion. He's desired me for his habitation, and it's happening now. He is becoming embodied again in his bride. It's the bride act. It's bride time. And his light is in her. His glory is in her. His word is in her. His life is in her. Like we read, she's life of his life, power of his power, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Inseparable. Completely one. God and his family. Aren't we blessed? Amen. Musicians, if you would come, we'll go ahead and just worship the Lord. Oh, glorious victory. Amen. Who I am, right? I'm a part of my Savior, a part of his word. Amen. Victory, would you stand with me? Set me free and made my heart his very throne. My life is no longer mine. I am a prisoner of love divine, and now I his name. Ooh,
It's a revelation of who I am on Calvary. He died to redeem his lost bride, the King of Kings became my Savior. This is God's great mystery of love expressed to me, that Christ and I might be made one. Who I am, Lord, who I am, I can see now who I am. A part of my Savior, a part of his It's a revelation of who I am.
Amen. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Aren't we blessed? Who we are, a part of my Savior, a part of his word. My goodness. Don't you love him? Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, just so grateful, Lord, our hearts full of love and just awe at your amazing grace in this beautiful word, this beautiful picture, this plan of redemption, where you're taking us, where you're working, where we're going back to, Lord, who we're a part of. It's all you. It's all by your grace. We just bow our heads, bow our hearts. In love and adoration, we give you thanks and praise. Father, we just ask you to go with each one of us as we depart, continue to minister yourself, minister your word into each and every heart. Be glorified and lifted up. We give you all thanks, all praise. Lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you.